an endless mercy tree. There are places in the scripture where very specifically the cross is referred to as a tree. We understand it was made from the wood of a tree. And so today we celebrate the mercy tree and we celebrate the empty tomb. If you have your Bible, would you turn really quickly to Titus chapter 3? Now, if you would like to use the Bible located in the rack in front of you, the white ESV Bible's there. It's page 1100 in that to help you get there to Titus chapter 3. It's located right after 2 Timothy, right before Philemon. It's a very small book, but it's full and packed with power and grace. It's a story of the resurrection and a big part of this right here. So Titus chapter 3. Everyone needs God's mercy. Would you say amen to that? Everyone needs God's grace. Could you say amen to that? Amen. Mercy has been defined as not getting what you deserve. Now, how many of us, I'm going to be the first, would say, I'm glad for God's mercy that I have not got what I deserve. Anyone else? Amen. But grace has been defined as getting what we could not earn. It's a free gift from God. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter of Titus to encourage and instruct Titus as he led the church in the city of Crete. Paul never forgot the life he once lived. He never forgot his own condition before God's mercy found him. You've noticed a theme of mercy this morning and the fact that God's mercy comes and brings us new life. Let's look at Titus 3:3. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others, and hating one another. Now, folks, Paul knew the truth about mankind, and he knew the truth about himself. Before we can get to the resurrection, we need to understand the reason for the crucifixion. We need to understand today that we all have lived out exactly what this says, that we were slaves to various passions. We passed our days in malice and envy. We were hated by others and we hated one another. We were full of sin. We all have been sinners. We all have disobeyed God and we all have earned the same ultimate destiny, and that's separation from God. But don't worry, there's good news coming. I just finished on Friday reading a book that I started a little over a week ago, and the book is entitled, and this name is going to bore some of you already when I tell you the name, but the book is entitled The Checklist Manifesto. You say, why would you read that? I love a checklist. And somebody wrote a book about checklists. And I read the book, I love to mark things off. And as a pastor, there are a number of times that I don't get to see things come to fruition as far as an ending to something with someone. You may have a job where you make something, and when you're done, it's finished. And you look at it, you hold it, you sell it to somebody. That's wonderful. That's not the way it works for me. So in my mind, to help me have peace of mind and to help me settle things, I love a checklist. I've told you guys before, sometimes when I'm working, if I do something and I didn't have it written down, I'll write it down when it's done just so I can mark it off. I like a checklist. And so this book intrigued me. In a leadership podcast I listened to, they talked about how this book could help you learn how to have checklists in life that help in certain processes for organizations like churches. Well, it was written by a surgeon who was also a researcher. So the book's really about medical checklists. I know that sounds strange to read, but Dr. Atul Gawande wrote this book. And he gives some very interesting statistics in the very beginning. Here's what he says. There are more than 13,000 different diseases, syndromes, and types of injuries that can happen to the human body. That means, let me help you put that into simple words, that means there's more than 13,000 ways your body can fail. I don't know about you, but when I read that the first time, my heart started hurting a little bit, started feeling a little, you don't feel good when you think about that. But the good news is this, there are more than 6,000 drugs, medications available, and more than 4,000 medical and surgical procedures to treat those problems and diseases. Sounds like a good opportunity for us to continue on in life. He even cites research that shows that the average American in the course of their lifetime will have 7 surgeries. Now, some of you in this room would say, I got that beat. I'm an overachiever. And some of you would say, I haven't had one yet. Well, your day is coming. I'm just saying anyway, according to statistics. As incredibly complex as the human body is, as incredibly advanced as medicine has become, we can still say with complete assurance that given enough time, everyone sees the same diagnosis, and it's death. Given enough time, life on this earth will be terminal for you. Happy Easter. That doesn't sound exciting, does it? But it's the truth to stop and think about that. And though it may be incredibly complex to stop and think about the fact to heal our body, there's all of these different things that doctors and professionals have to know how to do. When it comes to your eternal condition, your eternal significance, please hear me say this. It's very simple, the diagnosis. There is only one solution, and only one solution is needed, and that's grace. It is the only solution. It's the only one needed. Look at Titus 3, verse 4, the next verse. The first verse, verse 3, was terrible about our lives. Look at verse 4. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Did you catch that? When the goodness and loving kindness of our God, our Savior, appeared, Jesus showed up and Jesus brought new life for you and me. That great physician, as he is known, has a prescription for your sin, and it flows from his mercy tree. It is called grace. When we lived in Maine, I had a hobby that I loved. I loved fly fishing, and I would try to go as much as possible. It was so many wonderful places to fly fish, and my general physician, my doctor there in Maine, our family doctor, also loved to fly fish. And so one particular season, I was really struggling in the summer with just being overworked, overstressed, and truthfully dealing with a few blood pressure issues, some other things that were stress related. And I went to see him to find out what I could do about it. And I love what he did. He was talking to me and he said, here's what I'm going to do for you. And he took out his little prescription pad and he wrote a note on it and he took it off and handed it to me and said, give this to your wife. Okay, I looked at it and it said this. I wrote it down. It said, recommended treatment. Fly fishing twice a week for the remainder of the season. It was awesome. I felt like Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. I've got a golden ticket. You know, it was one of those. I felt so good. He could have given me some kind of medicine, but he said, go fly fishing twice a week, and that's doctor's orders. It was awesome. It was wonderful. I think I still had problems, but I had fun. It was just different, you know. And so what I would say to you is this, is when we stop and think about Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and you can have a golden ticket or you can have some medicine to take, we would prefer the golden ticket. And I would say to you that God's prescription for your sin is much more like a golden ticket than it is like a drug with some side effects. Look back at verse 4. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared. Now, if you were to study the word for loving kindness, it's just one word. We've put it into 2 English words, but it's one Greek word in the original language. And the word is philanthropia. It's the word we get philanthropy from. And so what is it saying here? When the goodness and loving kindness of our God, our Savior, appeared, it says this, he generously did for us what we could not do for ourselves. That is what he's done for you, friend. Look at verse 5. He saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. According to God's own mercy, he saved us. Our salvation is the fruit of the sacrifice he made on that mercy tree some 2,000 years ago. I want to quickly take just a moment to talk about 3 trees. There are three prominent trees in the scripture. The first is found in Genesis chapter 2. If you want to turn, you can. That's fine. If not, it'll be on the screen. Genesis chapter 2 is the most infamous tree in all the scripture. It begins in verse 15. It says this: "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it." It's talking about Adam. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'You shall surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die.'" Picture this: God creates man, God creates the world. He creates man, he creates woman. He puts them in the garden, says, "You are to enjoy and to tend to all of this and enjoy what I have given you and glorify me. Eat from any tree you want, but not this one. Don't eat from this tree, or you will surely begin to die when you eat of it." I think most of us know the story. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Sin and death entered the world. And the reality is, we've been eating from that tree ever since. You and me. The most infamous tree in the Bible, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then if you were to jump forward to the last book of the Bible, it's the most glorious tree in all the scripture. In Revelation chapter 22, it says this. Verse 1, "Then the angel showed me," this is a vision of heaven, "then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also," look at this, "on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." This tree, which showcases grace, this tree, which had 12 different types of fruit, excuse me, that would bear each month, this tree was in heaven, and it was so large that it says it was on both sides of the river, this one tree. It's an amazing and awesome and glorious thought to think about what God was showing and what he's displaying in heaven. It's a tree that symbolizes what God has done for his children. But please hear me say this: the only way to get past the results of that infamous tree in Genesis and to get to the incredible benefit and love and eternal goodness of the glorious tree in Revelation is having to experience the most powerful tree right in the middle. It's God's tree of grace. It's a tree of new beginnings. It's his tree of love. It is his mercy tree. So some 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on a cross. He died on a cross so that you and I could have our sins forgiven, so that grace could win, that hell could be forgotten, that love could overcome, as the song shared. And Jesus did that for you and for me. And Jesus' death was followed by the greatest miracle of all time, and that is he came back to life. Aren't you thankful he came back to life? That is why we celebrate. The power of grace is found in the empty tomb. Listen, if we were to take a moment to stop and reflect on God's grace and God's mercy, each of us could do that in our own lives. What he has delivered you from that you caused, your sin. What he has given to you that you've not earned, salvation, eternal life. You've experienced his mercy and his grace. But maybe you're here and you say, "Well, this is new to me. I'll be honest, I came because a friend invited me. I came because I'm here visiting family," or maybe you just wanted to see what God is up to. Well, can I say to you today, if you've never experienced God's mercy and grace, first of all, please understand you need it. Everyone in this room, without exception, from every member of the band, from the choir, in the sound room, in the congregation, all of us have sinned and fall short of God's glory. If you have ever committed a sin in your life, would you just very humbly raise your hand? Now, if you didn't raise your hand, you're lying. The Bible calls that a sin. Revelation chapter 21:8 says liars go to hell, okay? Let me just be clear as we keep going here for a moment. I won't sing it. There's a song I learned about that, but I won't sing it to you as a kid. But let me simply say this. We all have sinned. Now, I'm not making light of that, Because I'm incredibly inspired by what God tells us in Titus, that we were dead in our sin. We were walking in that malice, but along came mercy. Jesus in the flesh showed us what grace was like. And so he went to the cross for you and for me. He put our sin there on the cross with him. He died. Your sin died as well. 3 days later, he comes back to life in spite of your sin. So you could walk this aisle, and maybe you've walked the aisle of another church and you've asked a pastor to forgive you. That sounds good, but he can't do it. Maybe you've asked your parents to forgive you for something that sounds good, but they really can't do it. The only person that can truly forgive you of your sins is Jesus. He's the only one to die with your sin. He's the only one to come back to life in spite of your sin. He holds power over death and hell. He is the key to salvation. So if you're here and you've never experienced God's mercy, you've never experienced God's grace, I invite you today to receive that. We're going to, in the next 10 minutes or so, move to a place where we allow you an opportunity to respond, but we're not there yet. Don't worry. This is not the end. But for just a moment, I want to ask the choir to give you a representation of the God of mercy and God of grace through a song. And when they're done, I'll come back for 3 or 4 minutes and we'll talk a little more. But would you listen to this song about the God of mercy and the God of grace and what he has done in our lives?
Thank you.
Mercy, God of grace. Did you hear those words? I hear the dawn of Sunday morning's victory. We have victory because of what took place on Sunday morning. God provided the power for grace and mercy on that day. Because of the empty tomb, grace is available for you today. Because of the empty tomb, listen to me, your past will not define your future. Because of the empty tomb, your sins can be erased. Because of the empty tomb, your life can be transformed today. Because of the empty tomb, joy can be found. True joy. Because of the empty tomb, real peace is possible in your life, and love is real. Would you bow with me? With your heads bowed for just a moment. What about you? Are you still living in that infamous tree, eating from the fruit of sin? Have you ever experienced God's mercy tree, receiving the free gift of salvation that Jesus offers? Those of us that know Him and have been walking in His freedom and grace, do you long for that day when you will stand around that glorious tree for all eternity? My prayer and desire is that each of us would stop and be thankful for just a moment for what God has done, His provision of salvation, the empty tomb. And that you would be willing to respond to the God of mercy and God of grace today. If you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, with your heads bowed, here's what I want you to know. It's as simple as believing in your heart and trusting in repentance and saying to God, Father, I know you died for me. Forgive me of my sin. I commit my life to you. I want to follow you. I need your grace and I need your mercy. I'm going to say that again. And if you've never made that commitment, you've never given your life to the Lord, now you know what I'm going to say. If you say, I want to say that, I want that in my life, would you just repeat it in your heart after me? Just you talking to God. It's not about me. It's about you and Him. Father God, I know you died for me. Forgive me of my sins. I need your mercy and your grace. I want to follow you. I receive your gift of salvation today. Now, with nobody looking around and no one, please honor that if you will, just for privacy. I'm not going to embarrass you. I will not point you out. I promise I'm not going to do that. But just so I can pray for you, and that's all, if you just said in that time, you just prayed and said, Father, I want you. I need eternal life. I want to settle that I have you in my life. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Would you lift your hand up real high and put it down? Just real high, real high. I see it. Anybody? I see it. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Any others? Thank you. I see it. Several across the room. I want to encourage you and know that it's not magical words. It is your heart saying, Father, I receive your gift. I want to follow after you. He does the saving work. It is really not the magical words. If I can pray for you, I encourage you to come and let me pray for you about that. But I do encourage you to tell someone. If it's not, come and tell me in a moment. Let someone know beside you, near you, say, I prayed that prayer. I gave my life to Jesus. Let someone know today. But if you want to come, I'll be here to receive you. Won't embarrass you or point you out. Maybe you're here today and you realize because of the resurrection, because of the empty tomb, you have been transformed, but you've got family members and friends that you desperately want to see transformed as well. Maybe you want to come and pray for a moment and just simply ask God to do a work in their lives. You can come and get on your knees right here and do that. Maybe for others, maybe God has saved you, but you want to publicly declare it. You want to walk down the aisle today and say, I've given my life to Jesus, and so now I want the world to know it. Maybe you want to follow through with believer's baptism where you show the symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in your life. Maybe you want to unite with this church and God's calling you. There'd be no better day than this Resurrection Sunday to come and be a part of helping us make a difference for the kingdom. Whatever God is saying to you, we want to pray for you. We want to encourage you and we ask you to respond as God directs. Father God, have your way as we sing and as people come. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with us? We're going to sing a song.